Hello, friends. Welcome back to the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW in Bellevue, Washington, on 1150 AM just outside Seattle in the United States in North America. The program focuses on out-of-this-world information, including psychic phenomenon, UFOs, and predictions for the coming years in Seattle, the United States, and beyond. We are one of the top-rated talk show radio programs in the Seattle area, and we are also the fastest-growing psychic and UFO program in the world with listeners in over 60 countries. We just had a wonderful first hour with Lois Berman and my good friend Scott Lemriel, a special Christmas program. And for the second year, we will have some of the best clips from Out of This World Radio from 2014, including Glennis McCants, Dr. Masaru Emoto, Uri Geller, Susan Liberty Hall, Lauren Eisenhower, Greg Cambasso, Christine Day, and James von Prague. So without further ado, let's go ahead and start with our first clip. This is Glennis McCants. She is one of the world's best numerologists. This is an interview I had with her on June 6, 2014, and I hope you will find it out of this world.
Glennis, are you there?
Of course I am.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, I wanted to tell my listeners that we're very grateful and fortunate to have Glennis on the show today. She's been studying numerology for over 21 years. Her unique method is based on the Pythagoras number system, which is more than 2,500 years old. She has evaluated over 21,000 personal numerology charts and is the author of the best-selling book, Glennis Has Your Number, which has been translated to over 15 different languages throughout the world. Her website, if you'd like more information about Glennis and her wonderful work, is www.numberslady.com. She's been on many talk shows, including The Dr. Phil Show, Dr. Oz, The Today Show, CBS The Talk, Entertainment Tonight, and The View. She's just done amazing, amazing work, and she says her mission is to educate and simplify what this particular science is about so everyone can use it and change their lives for the better. What a wonderful goal, Glennis. Welcome to the show, and welcome to Seattle. I'm so glad you could come on today.
Yeah, I'm really happy to be here, and I wanted to say that after Glennis Has Your Number, I wrote Love by the Numbers, which is a fabulous book to help people understand each other in relationships, whether it's your love relationship, it could even be in business, but it really tells you who people are by the numbers, and that's another source that they can refer to.
Oh, how nice. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. You know, I don't think before you popularized this particular field, many people probably didn't realize the powerful impact that numbers do have on their lives, and there's definite meaning to it, isn't it? I mean, from your work and what you found.
Absolutely true. What happened with me, I would tell you, I did not pick numerology. Numerology picked me. And let me say quickly to them, what is numerology? It's a science of numbers. It is 2,500 years old. Pythagoras is the famous mathematician who created it, and the belief was that everything in the universe has vibration, but especially true for people. And that's why when you meet someone and say, oh, I like this person, or you meet someone else and say, okay, that person just drained me. That's numbers. You just didn't know it. And what happened with me years ago when I first started studying, I only went because my heart was broken, and this woman explained it was numbers, that the guy was toxic to me, but I was very compatible to his mother and sister, and I was giving him credit for that good feeling I had when I walked in the house, but it wasn't him, it was them.
Oh, how funny.
And by learning that, I was able to let it go, and this is after 2 years of agony. Like, he was my first love, my heart was broken, I was over it. So then I picked up the book, and I found once I learned the basic numbers 1 through 9, I could read anybody. And that's when I realized, oh, this is a calling, you see. I'm actually a 3 in numerology. 3s are here to motivate and uplift other people, and that's what I do day in and day out.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Now, the way you do it, to ask some elementary questions, Glennis, please forgive me.
Yeah.
If you take someone's birth date, is that right? And then you use that as a basic number to determine?
Well, here's how it goes. The most important number, and again, for those listening, they can go to numberslady.com and look up their life path so they know that they're doing it correctly. But we'll use Tom Hanks as the example. His birthday is 7/9/1956. So what you do is you take that full date of birth and reduce it to one digit. So 7 plus 9 plus 1 plus 9 plus 5 plus 6 becomes 37. Keep going. 3 plus 7 is 10. 1 plus 0 is 1. The one is someone who strives to be number one at what they do. Well, you've seen how successful Tom Hanks has been in his career.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, well, what's more interesting is Tom Cruise is a one, Nicolas Cage is a one, Sean Connery, Jack Nicholson, hello, every top talent in Hollywood.
Well, I've heard the Prime Minister of China also is a one.
I would believe that. Yeah, that would make sense. Now, what's interesting is Putin, who's obviously taking over the world right now, Vladimir Putin, he's a seven life path, and I would say seven's either thank God or think they're God. Now, who do you suppose he thinks he is?
Interesting. Very interesting point.
Mm-hmm.
How about if someone has a birth date of 11/2/1954, hypothetically?
And hypothetically would be you?
Hypothetically,
I am psychic. Yes. Don't ever forget that part of who I am. let me say something about psychic, by the way, because that word itself gets such a bad rap because so many people are fake or charlatans, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Psychic is everybody. Like, we're all psychic in tune, it's just some of us are more gifted with it. Like I found when I started looking at numerology, and I had your numbers, you could run, but you couldn't hide. Like I can just see who you are when I look at those numbers. So that birthday, assuming that is yours, Ted? 11/2/1954?
Right, in the last century.
It's intuitive. It means gut instinct. If you trust your gut instinct, it does not fail you. It's when you overthink it that you regret it. And then your life path is a five, which means never a dull moment. Like, you get restless. So I got to do. And when it comes to the Internet, I would think you'd love the Internet because of the information highway element. Like, you seek knowledge. You've got the four attitude, which is starving for the information. It's like, what else can I learn? Every time you learn something new, you feel alive.
Well, isn't that interesting? I went to college for a million years. I ended up with four degrees in five different subjects, and I'm still learning, except in the spiritual area now.
Well, now, what's funny about that, because you have a four attitude, one of the things I would say, like in my book, it would say, be careful not to become a permanent student.
Oh,
interesting. Because you're loaded with information, so you have to pour it out. Like a teapot that's full, you have a lot to give. You have a lot to put out there.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing that, you make the world a better place.
Well, hello, friends. That was Glynis McCants' interview on June 6, 2014. She's one of the world's best numerologists. It was a fascinating interview, I hope you enjoyed that. Next, we have three interviews. From the first one is Dr. Masaru Emoto, followed by Uri Geller and Susan Liberty Hall. But anyway, our next interview was with Dr. Masaru Emoto. Dr. Emoto unfortunately passed away in October, but he was an incredibly wonderful man with an important spiritual message for all of us. So let's go ahead and we'll listen to his interview from July 25th, 2014. And now let's go live to Tokyo, Japan, where we have Dr. Masaru Emoto on the phone. Dr. Emoto, are you there?
Hey.
Yes. Hello, my friend. How are you today?
Good morning.
Oh, good morning.
Time now, 7.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm sorry to wake you up, my friend. We're calling a translator now. Sarah, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, good.
Hi, Dr. Emoto and Ted.
Hey.
It's so nice to have you on the line. I didn't know you were there. My engineer just gave me a thumbs up, and that meant that you were on the line. So I'm sorry I missed that. But good. Well, welcome, Dr. Emoto. Thank you so much for coming today. I am coming on the show today. I want to tell my listeners a little bit about your background. You are the most famous water scientist. You were born in Yokohama in July 1943. You are a graduate of the Yokohama... I'm sorry?
Okay,
good. You are a graduate of the Yokohama Municipal University's Department of Humanities and Sciences, with a focus on international relations. In 1986, you established the IHM Corporation in Tokyo. In October of 1992, you received certification from the Open International University as a doctor of alternative medicine. You've done some wonderful work, Dr. Emoto. You're the author of best-selling books, Messages from Water, The Hidden Messages in Water, The True Power of Water, Love Thyself, and a 3-volume photo collection of beautiful water crystals. You've also authored two children's books, The Secret of Water and The Message from Water. And you've also been featured in an award-winning film, What the Bleep Do We Know?, produced in the United States in 2004, and also Water the Mystery, produced in Russian in 2006. You've done some wonderful work, Dr. Tomoto. You found that the your work's important because you found that water not only reflects the physical world around it, as in a placid lake or pond, but also reflects the consciousness of the being surrounding it. And through your experiments with water, rice, and other materials, you found that you've confirmed this with your various interesting experiments. Dr. Tomoto, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
はい、よろしくお願いします。はい、キミコです。はい。はい、どうぞ、楽しくいきましょう。はい。はい、よろしくお願いします。OK、テッド、thanks。
My pleasure. And Sarah, thank you so much for translating. I think Dr. Emoto's and I conversation today would be limited to a few words if you weren't there on the line. So I really appreciate you being there.
Yeah, actually he's quite well in listening, so he does check my numbers and things like that. So we're really in good hands.
Oh, okay. Good. Well, I won't try to pass any secret messages then that he won't understand. So, Dr. Tomoto, you've done some wonderful work, and I guess for people who are tuning in now, my listener base is in there's 40. I have listeners now, Dr. Tomoto, in 40 different countries across the world and in all the continents. And for people who are not familiar with your work, could you explain just a little bit about what you found in 10 words or less about water? I'm just joking, but a little bit about how it exhibits, for example, people's thoughts, the water intention experiments that I know you did?
So I really was interested in water and for quite some time. And one day I thought that there must be a way to prove that water can hold consciousness. So then I thought of this experiment where I was able to take pictures or have physical proof that water does hold intention or consciousness. And this was about in 94, so now we're going on at about 20 years that I've been doing this work.
Fascinating. Well, your work is so important, Dr. Tomoto. Could people use your work, for example, to clean up water pollution in an area?
So from my research and with all of the work that I've been doing so far, I'm realizing that there's a really significant relationship between people's consciousness and how it reflects on that onto water. So I believe that the higher or better the consciousness of the people, the purer the water can become.
Could your techniques help with world conflict? Could it help bring warring sides together, let's say in the Middle East, who are battling each other?
そしたらその先生のコンセプトは、まあ、世界中で起こっている戦争とかにも値しますとか。
もちろん、間違いなくそうなってくれると思っていますが、まだまだその辺の人々の意識が、よく、理解してないが故に、実際にはこうそうしていませんけど、だから子どもたちにそういう本を配って歩いて、純粋な子どもたちが水に対して祈ったりすると、とても素晴らしいことになるんだよということを理解してもらって、彼らが大人になった時には素晴らしい世界を作ってもらいたいと思ってるわけです。
Yes, you know, I certainly am keeping up with everything that's going on around the world in terms of war. And it's unfortunate, but so basically how I feel about that is that, once again, I go back to what I was explaining about raising consciousness
yes.
of the masses.
Yes.
So, yes, in a perfect world, if we could raise the consciousness of every person or as many as we can, then the world will reflect the energy in terms of how peaceful it would be and how less war we would need to do or have. But, you know, of course, in reality today, we are not, you know, all conscious or aware of how our, the power of our consciousness. So, therefore, I created the Emoto Peace Project to focus, not just, I don't focus just on kids, but particularly because, as you can, you know, understand, I wanted to distribute those books to the children so that they can learn early on how consciousness works and how they can, they have this power to create peace. So that when they grow up to becoming adults, we will eventually have a much more peaceful world to live in.
What a beautiful thought. Well, the purpose of my radio program is identical to your efforts as well, Dr. Emoto. The purpose of my program is to raise consciousness and create a better world. I want to repeat something I printed off from your Emoto Peace Project, and it's very profound and prophetic. It says, one person cannot change the world, but one person can deliver the messages which can change the world, and the messages are in your book. During this, that was broadcast from an interview I had with Dr. Emoto on July 25th, 2014, and I want to tell you something very important, friends. During this broadcast as well, we did an intention experiment where I asked Dr. Emoto and all my listeners around the world to send love and light to the Palestinians and also to the Israelis in the Gaza Strip, for them to have a ceasefire so that medical supplies and food could be delivered to the wounded and those in need in that area, because they were doing a terrific amount of fighting this summer. Well, that was at about 3:30 p.m. Seattle time on July 25th, 2014. And the show ended at 4 o'clock. I went to the place where I was staying, and at about 8:30 at night, I turned on the television, and something told me to watch CNN, so I turned on CNN, and just then, the Israelis and the Palestinians had spontaneously agreed to a 12-hour ceasefire beginning at 9 p.m. Seattle time that evening to exchange food and medical supplies to the wounded, and I was so happy, and it worked. Dr. Emoto's principles do work, and he has a wonderful project called the Emoto Peace Project that I'm helping with here in the United States. The goal of the project is to teach children between the ages of 3 and 12 the lessons of love and gratitude and to live in harmony with each other and the world. And his theory behind the Emoto Peace Project is that in 20 or 30 years' time, the children today who are growing up now, or perhaps in 10 years, the children today will become tomorrow's young adults. And then instead of engaging in domestic violence, lots of crimes, and Middle Eastern wars that last for decades, they instead will be far more interested in living in a harmonious way with both themselves and this planet. So I can't tell you enough good things about the Emoto Peace Project. If you like, please go to my website at www.outofthisworld1150.com for more information about the Emoto Peace Project. But it's a wonderful, wonderful project. Our next clip is from Uri Geller. This was done on March 23rd, 2014. Uri is considered one of the world's most famous remote viewers, and This is an interview conducted live by telephone from London, England.
Sons of the Fallen, sons of Lucifer, from Genesis chapter 6. Mm-hmm. They claim their lineage all the way back to Lucifer, and they claim to be running the planet, and they believe they're going to rebuild the temple. They're going to cut their head guy with the Spear of Destiny in the Holy of Holies, and he's going to be brought in as the Antichrist. And Brad Metzer said, well, do you believe this? He goes, it doesn't matter whether I believe it or not. He goes, these people believe it enough that they're willing to give their own lives for this. And here's what's interesting about this. The more you go back into the satanic conspiracy, look at the back in 2012, his halftime performance at the Super Bowl, how unbelievably crazy that was. Look at what just happened a couple of weeks ago when they were doing the Grammys, where that one girl had the full witch thing going on at the Grammys. And see, whether you want to believe it or not, they believe this stuff. They have what they call lesser magic, which means they got to tell you what they're going to do in advance, and they'll show you and tell you what they're going to do to you in advance before they do it. That's what they have to do to avoid the bad karma on the other side, they believe. Now, what's interesting about this is these guys traced their lineage all the way back to Lucifer with the fall of the Nephilim, Genesis chapter 6 with the great flood with Noah. Now, what's interesting about this is if you go through time and you find out where all these ruling classes have come from, a lot of them have the same ruling class bloodlines. And so what you now got to do, Ted, you got to study all of this stuff and start to realize that there's some type of satanic connection to all of this. Look at Ted Gunderson, what happened to him. He was the head of this. He was the head of the FBI for Los Angeles County back in the 90s, and he retired. And he discovered a full underground, full-blown satanic human sacrifice to the death sacrifice ritual network in L.A. County. And he exposed it and went public with it. And see, this is the nut stuff that's going on, that we're going, well, that really doesn't happen, that really doesn't happen. This stuff really goes on. And the crazy thing about it is if we don't open our eyes and see the underlying agenda of this with the eugenics and the population control and all of this other kind of stuff and who these people really are and who they think we are, they don't consider us to be anything but just ants, you know, like a termite or something. They don't something that needs to be exterminated. They don't see us as human beings. And what's crazy about all of this, and that's the only thing, Ted, that makes any sense. Because if you don't go back to that level, if you don't go back to Genesis and back to the Ark, over 100 civilizations, I'm not talking about Jews and Christians, I'm talking about all these different civilizations have a record in their historical account of the Ark and of the flood of Noah. And what's interesting about this is you got to take it back. Who built all these big structures? Who built the pyramids? I mean, I've been to Stonehenge. I've been to the pyramids. I've seen these monolithic structures that are massive, you know, huge, huge stones.
Hello, friends. We ended up with the wrong clip, and it was my mistake. I gave my sound engineer the wrong date, so we got Dr. Ted Brower. Yeah, Dr. Brower is one of the world's one of the most interesting nutritionists, and he's also a medical doctor from Florida. And I really like Dr. Brower. He has a wonderful, interesting perspective on health issues. But we will get Uri Geller on the line here in a few minutes. In the meantime, we could play perhaps Susan. Well, we can play Susan Liberty Hall. She's a cancer survivor. This is an interview from July 11th, 2014, in which she talked about her home health remedies for cancer, which were successful for her. Susan, tell me about, I gave a short intro at the beginning of the show about how you became interested in this field.
All right.
Perhaps you could add some more details, because I'm sure you can with
love to do that.
Okay.
All right. So in April of 2012, I was diagnosed with breast cancer, and at the same time, my brother, the late owner of the Los Angeles Lakers basketball team, Dr. Jerry Buss, my brother, my big brother, was also diagnosed with cancer of the abdomen. So we both had cancer at the same exact time. This became interesting because we would choose two different paths. He would go with conventional medicine, starting with a very serious surgery to remove his tumor. There was an error committed during the time of this surgery, and the next five surgeries and four procedures, a total of nine in all, were spent in trying to correct the original error, and it was never corrected. So he had a very difficult time from day one. He also did aggressive chemotherapy, as if more chemo is better, including radiation, and he went downhill very quickly. He suffered the next 12 or 13 months of his life was indeed a horror story, and it's not the first horror story, because our mother also died of cancer, also using traditional medicine, the chemotherapy and surgery, et cetera. After seeing that and knowing what had happened to my mother, I decided immediately that I could not do that. So I had to tell my big brother that I would not be doing traditional medicine, and he was very worried. He thought I would die. He thought it would kill me, and I was also very worried about him. He was sure that his method would save his life. I was sure it would not. So I didn't know what to do, Ted. That was the real issue. In that moment, I didn't know what to do. I just told him I could not do traditional medicine. I would not have a mastectomy. I was a Playboy bunny in 1968 and in London, and I did not want to have part of my body sliced off, and I don't believe anyway that that stops cancer, as so many times it comes back again and again. So, no, I would not do that. So I went home, and I didn't know what I was going to do, so I did a prayer. And I asked in the prayer, I asked my God to reveal to me what could be done to save my life. So it was a profound moment, because I stood up immediately after the prayer, walked to the office, went to the cabinet where I keep my files, opened up the file cabinet under C, and there I pulled out a file marked cancer that I had put in there maybe 15 or 20 years ago.
Amazing.
I had forgotten all about it. I hadn't seen it. I didn't know it existed. But having looked at it, I realized that was the file I started after our mother died of cancer in 1977. She died, and I started looking for ways and means for natural cancer, ways to heal cancer, because it was my DNA. I knew there was a possibility that I could get it in the future. So there was the file that I had started, and I opened it up, and there was a flyer of, it showed a man who had a hole in his chest or a scar. And he was about my age, 68, 69, and he had lung cancer. And he, next to him, there was a picture of a table with eight tumors, large-sized tumors, that he claimed had been taken out of his body using a Native American herbal remedy called Two Feathers Healing Formula. Well, I looked at that, and it was a strange thing to see. It was very strange, and I thought, can this be the answer to my prayer? Well, it was the answer to the prayer.
Next, we have Lauren Eisenhower, who was on the show on August 15th, 2014. She'll be talking about the secret agreements that President Eisenhower signed with aliens.
Your great-grandfather had signed some sort of agreement, a secret agreement, with some reptilian aliens in 1954. Do you know much about that or what happened?
Yeah, I do. I mean, there's a lot to this. I'll try and summarize it because it could take hours.
Sure.
You know, this goes way back into our ancient history, you know, originating with the Anunnaki. Actually, the first contact with governments happened in 1926. And the first treaties with the American government happened with Roosevelt. And during the Second World War, there was, you know, contact with Hitler and the American government, first by the Nordics and then by the Greys. And supposedly these treaties are renewed every 10 years. So because we're talking about Eisenhower, it's better to just start with Roosevelt and Truman, and how Truman set up three-letter organizations to handle the UFO question and some of the things related to technology. And so by the time Eisenhower stepped into office, because obviously he had tried to defeat Hitler and he was, you know, really bent on winning the Second World War, he became president, and I think realized very soon that the war wasn't exactly won and that we were dealing with off-planet entities that I think he was aware of during the Second World War, but not in the way that it was presented to him when he became president. So with things like MJ-12 already established and Project Paperclip already established through Truman's administration, which allowed a lot of Nazi scientists to come into the United States with the technologies that the Nazi Party got or Hitler got related to mind control, trauma-based mind control. The technologies that Roosevelt got, which were more about alloys and metals and anti-gravity devices and things that weren't so much about, you know, the mind control aspect, a lot of it got out of control because these three-letter organizations became very much infiltrated by the Illuminati, and they pretty much started off that way, but it ended up growing and making it very difficult with what was happening on the inside as far as the different agendas and the service-to-self type beings versus the service-to-others type beings. And you don't have a whole lot of control as a president once, you know, you see how large the operation is beneath the position of presidency, which ended up getting pretty out of control around the time he stepped into office, and even further out of control when he was in office. And so the meetings supposedly were first with the Nordics, and they never reached an agreement because there was so much controversy about us getting rid of all, you know, the weapons. We are in a very vulnerable position, you know, still being in the Cold War. And the mentality back then had a lot more to do with, you know, who has the most toys, who's the most protected, and who has the most defense. And whistleblowers have said, which is where I'm getting all this from, and I'll name the whistleblowers, people like William Cooper, Phil Schneider, some whistleblowers that are connected to Super Soldier projects that have broken through some of their programming. I got this from, and then also some channelers like Lisa Renee. So this is not just something I read from one person just Googling around the internet. This is years and years of research with a lot of different people. And so if people want to see the more detailed version with the names and the people that I'm speaking of, you can go to my website, which I'll give, I'm sure, before the end of the show, and you'll see it on the left-hand side. But because I couldn't reach an agreement with the Nordics, during the time of that indecisiveness, the Greys ended up showing up, actually four different species in all they had contact with. And they were reptilian, some were Greys. We had the Nordics, and then I think the tall whites were involved at different phases of these meetings. And so when the Greys came, some of the whistleblowers actually considered it to be more of a surrender because of the weapons that they had. But back in Roosevelt's time, it was, and the origination of these treaties had more to do with letting them abduct a certain amount of individuals in exchange for these technologies. Now, the treaty was very similar when Eisenhower was in office, and it was presented in a similar way, but it absolutely got out of control. But we have to understand that that was already in the works during Roosevelt's administration. And the original individual that allowed the abductions was actually Winston Churchill, and I've gotten that from a few sources.
That was a fascinating interview, friends, with Laura Eisenhower. She's the granddaughter of former President, U.S. President Dwight D. Eisenhower, speaking about the agreements that Eisenhower signed back in approximately 1954 with the reptilians. I'd like to go to the interview we had with Uri Geller now earlier this year. It's a fascinating interview where he was able to repair watches on the radio. You'll find out. Please listen.
Now, let's conduct this experiment and see what happens. By now, I'm sure you had the chance to bring some broken watches, and pocket watches, and so on. What I'd like you to do is very quickly wind them up. Although they are broken, wind the watches up, or the clocks, or the pocket watches, and now close your hands over them, or just close your fist holding the watch inside your fist. Now, together with me, on the count of three, we're going to shout out the word work. Simply believe that by shouting the word work, something will happen to that broken watch or clock, and it'll start ticking. And we'll do it three times, and then I'll tell you exactly what to do. So they are in your hands now, and if you're driving a car and you're listening to the show, don't take your eyes off the road, but if you have a broken component in the car, focus on that and try to make it work. So here we go. We do it three times. I say one, two, three. You'll all shout work. One, two, three, work.
Work.
Ted, I want to hear you too.
I just work.
Again, one, two, three, work.
Work.
And the last time, one, two, three, work.
Work. Work.
Now, everyone at home, open your hands and look at the faces of your watches. If you have a second hand, is it moving? Did it start? If you do not have a second hand...
Oh, my God.
Then wait. Then lift the watch to your ear and listen. Did it start ticking? Is it ticking? Listen to it. If nothing happened to you, don't be disappointed, because it doesn't happen to everyone. It doesn't happen all the time. But if anything strange or bizarre happened to you, please let Ted know.
Well, my friends in the audience, this watch has not worked in about 50, 60, 70 years. It was my grandfather's watch. He passed away in 1973. It's a beautiful gold watch. My dad had it for decades. I brought it today with me, knowing that Uri has done this before. So just, this is the first time it's worked in at least 50, 60, 70 years.
Are you serious, Ted? Wow.
Absolutely. I see the second hand going, and let me pull it up to my ear so I can hear it. Yes, it's ticking. Well, friends, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Uri Geller. He's an incredible, amazing gentleman. We've had him on twice this year, live from London, and I'll be inviting him back on the show again next year. The next interview is with Craig Combasso. That was on November 7th. Craig is was the producer of A Stranger at the Pentagon, regarding an angelic being that did visit President Eisenhower from 1957 to 1960. And I want you all to listen to this interview I had with him for a few minutes. That in exchange for their technology, they would be allowed to, quote, study us. And what these reptilians have done since then, of course, is abduct many, many people from not only this country, the United States, but also worldwide, and created a hybrid species. And I don't trust them. They're negatively oriented, and I think it was a
right.
bad deal for the world, basically.
Yeah.
But I think that eventually things will be reversed, and they will be changed so that they're no longer a threat to this planet.
Right, and how that gets changed is by all of us who are here on the planet is raising our consciousness, because once we have a set vibration, they can't stay here anymore.
Oh, interesting. Their
vibration, once we get to a level of planetary consciousness, they will not be able to sustain themselves here any longer. So
what a wonderful thought. I've been told that the reptilians actually feed off negativity. They feed off war. When there's conflict, that actually energizes them. So the negativity that exists on this planet sometimes, I think, is engineered by them.
Well, it could be, absolutely.
Yeah. Sure.
Absolutely.
Sure.
We hear all of these things, all the theories and everything, and it's just, it would just be fascinating, to one day be able to go into universal history banks and actually find out what was the truth.
Sure,
So
one of the things I wanted to throw out there to my many listeners, especially healthcare professionals, doctors, nurses, and those interested in preventative health around the world, is that what kind of planet? Wouldn't it be an interesting planet now if we had no disease, no poverty? Imagine what a paradise on this planet it would truly be. There is a prediction made by Nostradamus back in the 16th century France that by the 2030s and 2040s, humanity on this planet would be entering a period of 1,000 years of golden age of development, of spirituality, where we truly would have a paradise on Earth. And I still see those times coming. Sure, we've had troubles.
I do, too.
Oh, absolutely. And your film, and I think this radio program, plays a key part in that, we're both trying to raise the consciousness of this planet to a much better level so people are truly happy. Well, wasn't that an interesting interview with Craig Combasso? He's produced a wonderful film called Stranger at the Pentagon, and I urge everyone to definitely go see that. Our next clip will be of a Pleiadian spacecraft leaving from their base in 1977. There is a base just outside Zurich at the home of Billy Meyer. It's called the Simaje Star Center. And this is an actual recording of an actual Pleiadian spaceship leaving. And I'm sure you'll find it out of this world. I want to thank Billy Meyer and the Simaje Star Center outside Zurich, Switzerland, for providing me this copy of this tape. Our next interview is with Christine Day on May 30th, 2014. I asked her to bring an actual Pleiadian on the show, and she did. And I'm sure you'll find this interview out of this world. Christine, if I may, if you don't mind me asking, what do they see from me?
Change. They say be willing and be prepared for change in your life, that there is nothing that you will even be able to imagine what's coming. But there is tremendous change, and it's for you to let go to understand your true path. And that your true path really requires you to be willing to open to new ways of being, ways that you cannot imagine with your ego mind. But when the door opens, you need to hold your heart and feel the rightness of it with your inside your heart, and do not be afraid and do not hesitate, because everything is being perfectly orchestrated. There's a divine orchestration around you, Ted, that will move you in new ways, in ways you will not expect. So expect the unexpected, but be willing to let go and just allow it.
It's very profound. Thank you, Christine. Tell your friend, thank him very much for that.
I will. And if you need any support, their support is ongoing and complete as you wish it to be.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. My friends, I started this radio program last year. I've always wanted to do radio, and I also wanted to raise the consciousness of the world in a positive way, and the program now is going worldwide, and I'm accomplishing that. Recently, the ratings for the show have skyrocketed. The manager here asked me to do a second hour, and now it's gone to 2 hours now, from 2 to 4 p.m. on Fridays. And I think I couldn't agree with you more, that the planet itself is undergoing a wonderful uplifting shift, and it feels so good to be part of that and to have you on the show today, Christine.
Ted, it feels so right, and you know, you are creating a space which is very important right now for people to come to the understanding of what's going on at this time, so that they can move through conscious choice and be part of this transformation, not separate from it. It's through the understanding that people can then open up and play their roles out fully. And that's what's really important right now, that mm-hmm. people really understand the process of what is going on at this time and their part in that. You know,
mm-hmm.
people need to understand they have a very important part play in what is going on, everybody out there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the other message too I'm getting is that we're very powerful spiritual beings, and that each one of our lives count. Don't ever think that your life doesn't count, because it does count.
The uniqueness of each individual holds the key to the completion of the universe.
Mm.
So every person out there has their own unique divine frequency signature of the God consciousness,
mm-hmm.
and no one is like anyone out there. We're all unique and individual within that signature. So it's so essential that people really, and the ego mind can't imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the ego mind can't imagine a lot of things. That's why it's so important to connect to the unlimited form that is within the heart space, because that's mm-hmm. where the full understanding and knowledge is of how magnificent we really are, and it's time for us to reconnect to that. The lifting of the veil, this great shift that's coming, is going to be incredibly dynamic, incredibly revolutionary for all of those people who say yes to it. So, you know, I'm just saying out there to everybody, you know, you can be a part of your own resurrection process. You are part of that resurrection process. So important to work through that hard space.
And I want to tell my listeners too, and I'm saying this with a lot of love and light, that of course there's some tough things to deal with out there. There always has been challenges facing human society and all of us on a personal level. But just remember that the white light is much stronger than the dark, and that ultimately we are destined to have a really bright, wonderful future, and not to get too mired down in doom and gloom. I have to tell you, a few months ago when I started researching Fukushima and the things that were going on, at that atomic plant and how a there was a radioactive plume of water that was 10 times more radioactive than all the bombs dropped since Hiroshima and Nagasaki coming to the West Coast and was going to hit Washington. All I could think of was what kind of future would the children of this state have to live in such a radioactive a wasteland? But as it turned out, we're getting outside help now, apparently. The radiation's not hitting the West Coast. It's gone. And I know because I've been doing my own testing on it. And then people talk about, you know, sure, we've got conflicts in Syria. We've got conflicts, continuing conflicts in Afghanistan. We have the Ukrainian situation with the Russian government and Mr. Putin. But I think we've still got a bright future, and these conflicts eventually will be resolved. I don't think we have to have a third world war, and I don't think we have to have a lot of the problems that some people see.
Well, you know what really is important, Ted, at this time, and we know there's a lot of magnified third-dimensional drama in the planet, and it's expected at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And those who are involved in that drama are not finished yet with their drama. Each one of us must focus in on our own selves, knowing that this is really what we're being asked to do right now, is bring all our focus and attention and sourcing within ourselves, because all the answers, everything we need is within ourselves right now.
Mm-hmm.
The third dimensional drama that's out in the world, the wars and whatever else is going on, is people there are having their experience, which is what they're ready for. They're needing that drama experience. Mm. We do need to come back to ourselves and play the role of unfolding into our own unique divine life. And in that, we become a gift to the world like nothing we can imagine. We become that jewel, that pure essence of ourselves once again. And just by being that, we support the planet and everyone on the planet to find their own way back to that sacred union that we're all going to manage. The Pleiadians say in this lifetime, we are all going to come back and realign with consciousness to our sacred self. That is going to take place on the planet in this lifetime.
Wonderful.
For all of us.
Wonderful.
And those who are not ready to live in peace, they will take their next step off the planet.
Hmm.
And we who are ready will stay on the planet and take our next step on the planet. But there is no such thing as death. The Pleiadians say there is no such thing as death. Whether we stay on the planet or take our next step off, it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. It's what we're ready for. If we're ready for new community and conscious living, those of us here on the planet will stay and have that experience in new community.
Wonderful.
And those who are attached to the drama, to violence, to control, will simply go somewhere else to have their next experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really matter of fact the way the Pleiadians talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they are here, and all eyes are on planet Earth to support us right now in this great awakening that we're in the middle of.
Wonderful. Christine, we have a caller, Raul, in Seattle. Raul, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, Raul. Thank you so much for calling. Christine's on the line along with her Pleiadian friend. Feel free to ask a question.
All right, thank you. Some of us that look up to the sky for answers and are on a very strong spiritual path. And what you're talking about is fairly new to me. How do we stay grounded? And if the Pleiadians can give us or me a tool so we can stay in this earth without actually giving earth a lot of our drama to sell.
Okay, Rael, thank you for your question. It's good to hear your voice. You know, this is not the time necessarily to be in the old way of staying grounded, but what is really important and what will keep you very much anchored in your own physical body so that your energy, your own light, can anchor through the heart space, that energy of the heart that I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And as you bring your conscious awareness into the heart with your hands there, you begin to awaken to a higher frequency of your light, but it doesn't take you out. It brings you in and allows you to stay grounded in this physical form. That's what you need to be doing. And so that the more that you bring your awareness or your attention to your hands on your heart, on your chest area, and allow yourself to begin to align to the essence of that energy, it starts to automatically anchor through the cells of your body. And this is what we're meant to do in this lifetime, is to anchor the frequency of that light, the energy, to come into the body. So you are grounded. Yes, you feel a fluidity within your physical body, but you stay very grounded, and it allows you to live very well on this earth plane. And that's what I do in my body. Continuously, I am operating from the fourth, fifth dimensional energy most of the time, and I'm very functional in this third dimensional world, but I carry a high frequency of light and stay very anchored in my own physical form.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely, it does. And I wonder if I can steal a word or two for a message, see what is my mission here right now.
Okay, let me just open up. You have a high frequency of light, and it appears you're an important go-between and channel between yourself and the galactic energy. It's as though you are to play a role as a conduit for that light in anchoring, not only as a channel, but anchoring and assisting in aligning these energetic grids on the earth plane at this time. It has been in the past that your ego mind has been in the way. But more and more, you're becoming a pure channel for the frequency of the energies that you have pre-agreements with, so that you are being used as a tool even more completely over the coming months. So it feels like your whole channel, your whole ability to align to these energies is going to expand tremendously. And I would say that's from this series of the lifting of the veils that are coming in. And that you are going to be utilized in a much higher level of frequency to continue the work that you have pre-agreed to. But it's going to change because your abilities are going to expand and you're going to be aligning much more strongly with that higher self, that pure frequency, that force of light of you coming in much more completely over the coming months.
That's beautiful.
Huh? Yeah.
That's beautiful, man.
Feels very special and very important, Raoul, for you to let go and allow this resurrection process within you.
Hello, friends. That was Christine Day with a Pleiadian friend of hers live on the air in an interview we had on May 30th of this year. I just want to thank everyone for supporting this radio program. We started back in 2013, and our ratings have skyrocketed. And without your help and support, we wouldn't have gotten this far. I hope you can all go to the Galactic Wisdom Conference we're having in Gig Harbor. It's at the end of Gig Harbor, and our website is www.galacticwisdomconference.com. There is a mistake in the price. Well, it's $197 now, but that price will be extended through the end of January. After February 1st, it'll go up to about $247 for people who want to wait and register later. You will be able to meet some of the most interesting and thought-provoking UFO and psychic people in the world. Lois Berman, who considers herself both a psychic and a healer, will be there, as well as Scott Lemriel, who you heard today on the show. We'll also have a wonderful healer named Jerry Wills coming from Arizona, as well as Dr. Susan Shumsky. She'll be coming in from New York City. Dr. Shumsky is one of the world's authorities on chakras and auras, and she's helped people help them heal their chakras and auras many, many times in her 20 or 30-year career, and she'll be there as well. We'll also have a meet and greet on Friday night and Saturday night at the end of Gig Harbor, so you'll be able to meet these people in person. Teresa Carroll, another well-known Seattle psychic, will be there as well, and she does a lot of wonderful healing work. There will be some scheduling changes on the program schedule, which we'll be doing probably next week. In addition to that, we'll have a new guest named Rob Potter. He's from California. He's a UFO contactee and also a healer. So the conference itself is not only devoted to healing, but also to the late Dr. Masaru Emoto of Tokyo. Dr. Emoto, who you heard his clip earlier on this broadcast, was considered one of the world's most spiritual people and also a wonderful healer. He had about 10,000 patients, many of whom he cured of cancer and other diseases, simply by using his wonderful used a machine and also his intention of love and gratitude to heal people's health ailments. Next year we won't be broadcasting after Christmas due to the holidays, but we will be back on the air on January 2nd. I've invited the Princess Martha Louise of the Norwegian royal family on to come back on in January. And I also want to wish everyone a wonderful Christmas. I hope today's show has all brought you good cheer, because my dear friends and listeners, to me you are so dear. And I hope you have a wonderful Christmas and a very happy new year.